this morning while he preaches God's word. I love you, Brother Dana.
Love you too.
You're a blessing. Amen. You can be seated.
You can take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 28. I've been thinking as I observe during the course of the week, and I think of all things that blesses me is watching these youngins and their reactions on the grounds. I'm not talking about just in church, but just as they move around in and out and then during the course of the day. And I was thinking about the Garden of Eden, where basically what the Lord told Adam was, he said, "Now, Adam, I fixed all this up for you. And what I want you to know, this is a yes place." He said, "Matter of fact, there's a yes on everything here. Except one." And I'm going to tell you something. This just feels like a yes place. The Lord has given liberty even to the youngins. Now, every now and then God will have a no, as a parent will. But it's for your benefit. When my grandyoungins come to the house, November, all of us together is 27. Years ago, we began putting away all the no's. I didn't want my grandyoungins coming down there, me saying, "No, no, 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 no." There'll be a no every now, but it's for their benefit. I want them to come to a yes. And all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes. Now, this world have us think that God's just some old ogre on the throne wanting to slap our hand all the time saying, "No, no, 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 no." I've had a few no's in my life, but I'm here to tell you I've had millions of yeses. And as I walk on these grounds, I feel a yes. And I thank God for that, don't you? Thank you, Brother Steve. What a blessing to be able to come. I am honored. I was just last night, it just messed me up, as Jackie would say, as we listened to Brother Larry preach. And it took me back to 20 years old. When I was privileged to listen to him preach. Now, there are a lot of preachers in my life, a lot of good preachers that I've heard that have helped me, a lot of them. But then there's Brother Larry. And I've always said, I believe he preaches the purest gospel of any man I've ever heard preach. And if you listen to him preach, you're going to hear the gospel. I love him and Sister Sandy. What a blessing they've been to us. He married me and Esther. And she said she still ain't forgave him. Well, we're looking at this life of Jacob. We have emphasized several things concerning his life. We've looked at his story, looked at his squeeze, looked at his strengths, could have looked at his significance and his search. But this morning I want to look at Jacob's sanctuary. Jacob's sanctuary. I'm going to read a few verses that deals with the time he left home because of the troubles with Laban. going to Mesopotamia where he gets his wives and then has his youngins. But on the way, he stops at a place called Luz, L-U-Z. First we've heard about it. Seems to be a very cold and lonely and lifeless place, as the scripture describes it. A place called Luz. But before that night is over, he said, "This is Bethel, or the house of God." He had experienced God in a real way. He had felt his presence and known his nearness for the first time. It was almost like he was having church. Having church. I'm going to emphasize to you this morning the importance of not just going to church, not just playing church, but having church. Got a preacher friend that I've known down through the years. His grandmother raised him, and he tells the story how when he was a kid, when all the cousins came, family reunions, his favorite thing to do was to play church. Said they had a little creek down there behind the barn. Said he'd gather them all down there, and he'd preach to them and baptize them. He said, "My grandmother thought that was sacrilegious, and she warned me. She said, 'Now, if you do that again, I'm going to have to whip you. You don't need to be baptizing them kids.'" But he said, "I couldn't help it. The next time we got together, I preached to them and I baptized them all." And said, true to her word, she whipped me for playing church. As he told that story, I just thought to myself, I wonder if God chastised us for every time we played church. How unpleased he is with us just playing church. It got several folks in trouble in the Word of God for playing church. May God help us to have church. Now I want to read some of these verses that gives the experience he has, and then two or three things I want to say about this matter of having church. 28 verse 11 through 19, the Bible said he alighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac." Verse 15, "And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." He was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other than but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set up for a pillar. Poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Chapter number 31, you won't have to turn. I'll read the verses to you. Verse 13, "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me." Chapter number 35, I'll read a few verses there. "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel." He's been to Mesopotamia, now he's coming back. "And dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way in which I went. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. And he and all the people that were with him, they built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, God of the house of God, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And Jacob, chapter 48, verse 3, said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, this is at his death, he gathered up his feet in a bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. One other verse, Hebrews 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. I want to emphasize this wonderful truth of this sanctuary that becomes real to the life of Joseph that he never, or Jacob, that he never got over it. He had church and he never got over having church. I want to tell you, child of God, if you ever worship, you will never get over worship. And it is here that he experiences God. And something takes place that is bigger than he is. Something beyond what he's been trying to do. And it seems as though that it carries him through the rest of his life. He has had church. There's simply three things that I want to say about this matter of having church or this matter of worship. I want to begin, if I can, with this thought. I believe that his worshiping and his having church was a preparation for something down the road. It was a preparation. Having church, children, you getting with God, whether it's here or at your church or at your house or wherever it may be, understand it's not just for today.
That's right.
It's for the main event that you're going to face somewhere, I promise you, in the tomorrows. Because what this today is all about is getting you ready. Right now, it's getting you ready for the end.
Amen.
It was a preparation. I'm interested in that verse, Hebrews 11, 21, where it said he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff.
Yes, sir.
And then I'm interested in chapter 49, verse 33. This is at the same time. Same time. Something is happening spiritually and something is happening physically. Because it's in chapter 49, verse 33. He takes his feet, puts them in the bed, and yields up the ghost.
Yes, he does.
I pondered that. It's the same thing Jesus did when he cried out and said, Father, into my hands I commend my spirit.
Amen.
It has this emphasis to it. It's a breath is what it is. It's a breath in a physical sense. It is a breath in a spiritual sense. Both of them true in our connection to God. and very real that we might understand them for the end event. Because it is in the end that he does both of them at the same time. But I'm going to tell you, I'd hate to have to do one and not be able to do the other.
Yes, sir. Right.
Because what happened in Joseph is the same thing on one level that happens in all of us. God, when he created Adam, breathed in him. That is the word spirit. No matter where you find it. It is the breath of God that allows you to live. He breathed in you. But I'm going to tell you something. That breath that was breathed in you can't just stay in you. If you're going to live, it's got to breathe out of you. It's a breathing in and it's a breathing out. It is inhaling and it is exhaling. And throughout your whole life, as long as you live, you are going to breathe in what God breathed in you.
Amen.
But then you're going to breathe it out. But there's going to come a time, as it was for Jacob, when he was going to breathe in for the last time and breathe out for the last time. He was going to go, and that was going to be it. That has happened for everybody with the exception of two that's ever been born in this world. It happened to Jesus. He breathed out physically on the cross. Breathing out an exercise of the body. But here was my question. How in the world did he do that so calmly? It's almost like he decided when he was going to breathe out the last time. For the most of us, if we thought that the next breath that we breathed out was going to be the last one, we'd try to hold it. Would we not? And don't we do that, as I've already preached on Jacob's squeeze, don't we try to hold it in? In other words, if you don't know the Lord and you're not serving the Lord and your life is not dedicated to him, what you're trying to do is hold back what he breathed in you and you're not breathing it back to him.
Amen.
We ought to live our lives that every ounce of energy that we use that causes us to breathe out ought to be a breath back to God in the physical sense. Just as real as I'm standing up here right now using all of my breath in and out to preach the Word of God, we ought to use all of our breath in and out to serve God. He breathed it in. And Jacob breathed it out. And since that day, as you notice from his life of wrestling with that angel, he's breathing in, breathing out. And even down at the end, he can't get done talking about it. He said, man, I had church that night. I found out God was in charge of it. And I'm going to tell you, physically, he began to breathe in and breathe out for God. That's the reason why he could breathe out for the last time so calmly. Because at the same time, the same God who breathes in you physically is the same God that must breathe on you and in you spiritually.
Amen.
The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst tell from whence it cometh. No, whither it goeth, so is everyone that was born of the Spirit of God. That word wind there is the same word as spirit and breath. I remember the first time I ever had church. I remember the first time I ever worshiped. As a 14-year-old walking down a little alley
all by myself, the Lord Jesus came and he came up to me and he went, and he breathed the eternal life within me. And I'm going to tell you something, just like in the physical breath, you can't hold it in, it's coming out. Amen. Try to hold it. See how long you can hold it. I promise you, every one of you will have to breathe it out if you're going to live. And I'm going to tell you something, when God breathed in me spiritually, he began a heartbeat that constantly wanted to breathe back to him. You know what worship is? He's worshiping on that top of that stand. He's worshiping out of a relationship with the Lord that happened at Bethel, at the house of God, where he had church. And since then, he'd been breathing physically. But when he leaned on that staff, he breathed back spiritually. He said, I ain't got long till I'm going to take my last breath physically. But I think I've got just enough time left to worship one more time. And he leaned on that staff. And he raised his head toward heaven. And he said, and you know as well as I do, that worship is no more than no less than you breathing back to God what he breathed in you. He hath given us of the spirit of his son. And the spirit of that son always wants to breathe back to the Father. Breathing back. The reason why he could die like he died is because he lived like he lived. He worshiped while he was living, and he worshiped while he died. He was breathing back to God. And when it comes down to that last hour, that last moment, that last breath, honey, I want to just look up and say, oh, Lord, I'm ready. You can have it. I'm going to yield it to you. And blow it all back. I got a granddaughter here this morning, 9 years old. She asked me one day, she said, Daddy Dana, how tall do you think I'll get to be? I said, well, honey, I don't know. She said, do you think I'll, and she began to go through her brothers and sisters. Do you think I'll be as tall as this one and taller than that and whatever? And some of them I said yes, one of them I said no. And finally she looked at me and she said, will I be as tall as you? I said, well, honey, I don't know. I said, at that time she was 8. I said, by 15 years old, you'll probably get your full growth. And then we'll compare. And she looked at me so innocently and inquisitively. And she said, well, what if you're dead? I knew then how old she thought I was. And I said, honey, I'm going to pray that God let me live long enough to measure by your grand youngins. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know when the last breath is coming, but I want it to be a purposeful breath extended back to God. But the only way that's going to be is if I am breathing back the breath spiritually that he's put in me, and I'm going to tell you, his last second on earth, he had church. He went out having church. Amen. Jacob was in the midst of his sanctuary. He said, I'm a fixing to die, but before I do, let's have some church. Amen. Let's worship. He had been prepared for that last moment. Amen.
Having church is a preparation for the end. I want to be ready for that, don't you? I came here this week to breathe back to God what he breathed in me. Inhale and exhale is what worship is all about. Can I say to you that this matter of having church was a preparation. But I must also emphasize that this matter of having church has everything to do with a person. With a person. Church can be anywhere, at any place, and any time if he's there. I think that the Hebrew children had church in the fiery furnace. I think Daniel had church in the lion's den. I know John the Baptist had church on the Isle of Patmos. And here Jacob comes to a place called Luz, of all places. Who ever thought anything's going to happen at Luz? Cold, lonely, unfamiliar. First time he's been there. Hard. He's got an old rock to lay his head on. So distant and so dark. Now, I've preached at that church, I know, a time or two. The first night I'm saying, oh God, that I'm going to have to hang around at Luz for all week. But the Lord showed up and made the difference. Luz became a place of a heavenly experience on earth. Changed it all. And honey, I don't care where you're at and your circumstances, what you're going through, it may be the coldest place on earth, but I promise you, if the Lord shows up, it's going to make a difference. It changed everything. It changed his address. And he didn't even have to move. He went to Luz and left Bethel. Because God had showed up and ministered to him. That's the thrill of coming to camp meeting. That's the thrill of going to church. That's the thrill of worshiping God. You never know where you're going to end up. God for sure will allow you to be in heavenly places. No matter where you're on earth, you'll be in heavenly places. Ended up at the house of God. Changed his address. Changed everything about the atmosphere. It turned a nightmare into a heavenly dream. It turned a stone into a pillar, which was his altar. It was a local place, but thank God it became a lively place and a living place. It was there he saw angels, built altars, got rid of idols. There was an anointing, an appearing. There was angels. He had himself a time that he testified about even on his deathbed. And by the way, when you get to the end, all you want to talk about is the beginning. And that's what he does. He comes down to the end, and he said, I want to talk to you about the beginning. I'm glad I've got a beginning, aren't you? You see, it's a person. It's a person. And here's what I want you to understand. It's when you're worshiping, when a church is worshiping, when you're worshiping at camp meeting, there is absolutely nothing happening in heaven right now that can't happen right here. Amen. Because God funnels all that he is into our worship and brings everything that he does out of our worship.
God does nothing outside of worship. He breathes it in and we breathe it back. And we operate off of the energy of what he's breathed in, that worship he breathed in. We breathe it back, and he begins to use that, whether it's in preaching or singing or praying or witnessing, whatever it is. It's an act that comes out of him being there, breathing in you, so you can breathe it out. He's on earth, and he said, I declare, that's a gate of heaven right there. That's how close it gets in worship. As a matter of fact, I often say this, and I'll say it again this morning. If you ain't been to heaven already, you ain't going. You got to already have gone to get there. That's why when I get to heaven, there's not going to be any teachers training unions. They're not going to have special classes for how I'm supposed to act in heaven. Amen. I'm already going to know because I've already experienced it right here.
Yes, sir, preacher.
In the midst of worship, what you do is you step out of one world and all of a sudden you sense you're in another world. Haven't you ever went into your prayer closet, as was preached last night by Brother Leonard, and all the world seems to be on your shoulders and you hit your knees and God shows up and it seems as though you've left this world and you've been into another world. And you heard a preacher preach with leaps of clay, preaching out of a book with black and white in it, and thank God in the middle of that sermon you felt like you've been taken out of your world into another world. You have been privileged to worship. All because he showed up and breathed into it so you can breathe out of it. You can't breathe out of what he don't breathe into. He's having church. He's worshiping because God is there. God is there. And I love it when the Lord breathes, don't you? I love it when he breathes. Becomes, though an earthly experience, it becomes a heavenly. So I say to you that this matter of having church, he's having church. But you better be having some church, because one of these days you're going to breathe for the last time. You want to be able to breathe physically. You will be able for the last time, but oh, I hope you can breathe spiritually.
Amen.
It is a preparation. But the last thing I want you to notice is that this matter of having church is a process. Did you notice how the scripture said he worshiped? It's kind of odd. I noticed on the Isle of Patmos that when John worshiped, he fell down. Others in the Bible, they bowed down. Matter of fact, the Bible said every knee shall bow. And that's what I did. And that's what I do constantly. When I sense his presence, it causes me to want to bow. But John ain't bad. What's his name? Jacob. Preached all week on him. Don't know who he is. He's leaning. But you see, that is the process of his experience with God. It's not that he's being disrespectful. Worship has brought him a route that others hadn't traveled. But worship will bring you a route that others hadn't traveled. So you don't have to look at everybody else and try to worship like they worship. Because if you do, it's going to be fake. What you've got to do is take your experiences with God and worship out of that, and there'll be something a little distinct about your worship that nobody else has because they haven't experienced it. But you met God in the midst of that experience. You met God in the midst of that circumstance. And Jacob didn't even apologize for it. He said, I think I'm going to worship a little bit. And he just leaned over and worshiped. But honey, he could worship just as real leaning over as you laying down or sitting down. Because that was God's working and process of worship. I'm glad for the worship he's developed in me that I claim is all my own. He's come at particular times in different circumstances and breathed in. And I've been breathing out of that. That circumstance, that situation, he's worshiping, he's about to die. And he breathes out and says, boys, let me tell you what happened at Bethel. Woo! I can't do it. I can't do it bowing down. I'm sorry. I can't, but I can lean on my staff and tell you what God did. You could ask him and said, now, Jacob, why in the world did you just worship leaning? He said, that's all I can do. Because there was a night back there in church in Bethel. God came by and he touched me and broke me. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me. But my worship's a little different in that I have to worship like this. Huh? Yeah. Amen. He's worshiping out of the process. The development of God. See, what I think is when the Lord saves you, he puts a jug on the inside. And what he'll do in the course of life is he'll fill your jug up with all your experiences. Just fill them all up. But what he does is he puts the Holy Ghost in there in the midst of all them experiences in that jug. And then when he wants you to worship or testify, he'll take your jug and shake it up. And in the midst of that jug is the Holy Ghost and all the burdens and cares and days of rejoicings and rains and sunshine. It's all in there, and here it comes out. Man, it's got a fragrance to it. It's got a smell to it. It's got an aroma to it. It's got a touch to it. It's got a sweetness to it that nobody else could bring out, because nobody's got, they got the Spirit in them, but they don't have what you went through. They don't know where you've been. Honey, they just got to worship out of their process. And I preached enough for you to know how I was raised and all the hell and all that stuff that was back there without a mama and a daddy's a drunk and brother's drunk, and I buried most of them because of that alcohol and all that other stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. If I could go back all over my life, all the way back, there wouldn't be one day I'd change. There wouldn't be one thing I'd change. There wouldn't be one experience I'd change. You know why? Because he put it all in my jug. And then the Holy Ghost will get to stirring within me. And I'm going to tell you, that jug will open up, and I'll get to preach out of that jug. I'll get to sing out of that jug. I'll get to worship out of that jug. And I promise you, you won't never have seen it like you see it when it comes out of me. But I promise you, I won't never have seen it like I see it when it comes out of you. That's why all of us need to have church and worship, so others can see what God's done in you. I preach out of my jug. He worships out of the experiences of which worship has brought him. Many years ago, I was listening to a cassette tape of Curtis McCarley. I never heard him preach, but oh, what a preacher he was. He was talking along this line of worship. And he said, I was out in Texas in a big old conference. And he said, I was the keynote speaker, whatever that means. He said, I was standing up there, and he said, there was probably 20, 25 preachers standing up there with me. Said they got to singing, and he said, the preacher standing right beside me cut loose and started dancing.
He said, to be honest with you, I've never seen that happen, never been around. He said, it embarrassed me. And he said, I didn't say it audibly, but I stood there and said, I hope he quits pretty soon. He said, here I am, the keynote speaker, and him doing that right now, right beside me. Disgusting. And he said, about that time, he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Said, he said, Curtis, said, he said it real loud. I knew it was him. Said, Curtis, he said, yes, Lord. He said, dance. He said, what, God? He said, dance. Said, God, I can't dance. He said, you're going to dance. He said, God, there's probably a lot of these preachers saved off the dance floor. Let one of them dance. Said, Curtis, if you don't dance, you don't preach. He said, I just broke loose. He said, I didn't know how to dance. I just danced. He said, from that day forward, I don't care how you worship, as long as you worship. If you do it on your head, that's your business. If that's how God's worked it in you, let him work it out. I've been places where you couldn't hear a pin drop and they didn't even allow it, amen, but I worshiped. But I've been places where they just almost tore the place apart. But I'm going to tell you something, I worship. Because, honey, I ain't coming in here to dictate to you how to worship because I got no business doing so. God has brought you to where you are, and you want to praise him for what he's worked into your jug, and the Holy Ghost is bringing it all out. You don't have to try to be somebody else, act like somebody else, do like somebody else. You don't even have to worry about anybody else. You worship out of your jug. And if you do, when it's all over with, he said, I think I've got at least one more breath. And then he climbed over into bed. Because he could do this, leaning on his staff, he could do this. Said he yielded up. That word yield means to breathe back. He breathed back the Spirit. How would you, if you got to go, go a breathing to God. He said, I got two things to do. And he leaned and went, and he laid down and went, did you know Martyr and John Green? Precious couple up in the mountains there. He passed away. Holy Ghost man. I love to worship with him. I worship just listening to him. She stayed around 10 more years. But every time you talk to her, she'd talk about heaven. I told my wife, I said, she's looking for the fast train out of here. And she was. And it just so happened they had to give her some medicine, I believe it was for like sinus or something like that. But it attacked her lungs. This was in a short period of time. And when they called me, I mean, she was in the hospital. And struggling. Everything all right except she couldn't breathe good. They was having to help her out. And finally they came into the room to her and they said, now, Miss Green said, we've done all we can do here. And we're not going to be able to help you as far as your lungs are concerned. And if something's not done, you're not going to make it but just a day or so. But we have called Duke University, and they have all the specialists there that could ever treat some of this, and said, we've called them and told them your circumstance. And they said to us that we'd probably done all that could be done, but if you wanted, we could ship you down there, and they would look you over, and maybe there would be something they could do. And you'd have to know her. She said, I mean, able to communicate. She said, no, I don't think I want to do that. She had six, was it seven, young and six or seven? Grown, married, they had children, grandchildren. She said, told her daughter was there, said, call the rest of the family and see when they can get here. Tell them as soon as they can. And she said to that nurse, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my youngins here and they could sing. I'm telling you, they could sing. She said, I'm going to have my son Bart read some Bible. They're going to sing. And you're going to take all this off. And she said, I'm going home. Going home having church. I didn't get to be there. I couldn't get there in time. I didn't get there, but I talked to the kids about it. They all got the first thing they'd heard that was what was going to happen. They got there. And she just told them and said, now listen, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. She'd been breathing out a long time. They knew it was real. And she said, now, Bart, you read some scripture. As soon as he gets done, you girls start singing, and you unplug me, and don't quit singing till I'm gone. Bart said, I read the scriptures they said we sang, and by the time we got done singing, she is gone. Honey, worship is for a preparation. It is a person. It's a process. God's wanting to get you out of here by just simply doing something as simple as going. You say you think that's how it's going to end for you? Well, that's what I'm doing now. I'm just, he breathed it into me. And it can't just stay in there. Have you done that this week? Have you been able to do that this week? Don't you feel that? That there's something in you expressing itself back to God. There's a spirit in you, a breath in you that you can't hold. It just wants to breathe back. And every preacher knows that's what preaching is. It's something God puts in you. He breathes that sermon in you, and you just can't hold it in. It's like you just try. He's going, oh, no. And when you get up to preach,
preach.
Jacob's sanctuary. He's having church. Somebody said, well, how do you have church? Just let him breathe in. And you breathe out.
Yeah.
You'll have church.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Let's stand.
Amen.
Don't you appreciate